Hi there, it's Ed here with a short message before we start the pod this week. Did you know that our most informed investors get insights, articles, and investment ideas from Tom, me, and the team sent directly to them via email, and it is completely free. You can join them. Just subscribe at fidelity.co.uk/newsletters. Hello, and welcome to the Personal Investor Podcast. I'm Ed Monk. Today on the show, is the US market undergoing a reality check? A sell-off in April and a nasty dip for the Magnificent Seven last week in particular have investors asking that question. What's driving it, and is it all bad news? That's the focus today. If you enjoy the show, please rate us, share us, or leave a comment wherever you get your podcasts. 2024 was all going so well. The US stock market ended March at a record high, powered by gains of most, although not all, of the Magnificent Seven, those powerhouse tech companies. April, however, has changed all that. The S&P 500 has dipped from those highs, and tech has seen the biggest reverses. Last Friday saw even sharper falls for tech to round off a terrible week. So is this just an inevitable blip or something more significant? And what does the year so far tell us about the future of the Magnificent Seven? To answer all of that, I'm joined by Tom Stevenson, Investment Director here at Fidelity. Tom, welcome along. It has been a rocky few days for US shares. Other markets have been doing a bit better, but for US shares, it's definitely been a rocky few days. And without noticing it, we're actually, after quite a good start to the year, halfway to a correction in that market.
Absolutely right. Yeah, I mean, April's been a bad month for the US market, down about 6% since its peak at the end of March. Which, I mean, the common definition of a correction, as you know, is a 10% fall. So we are just over halfway there. Interestingly, though, I saw some interesting stats on corrections, which very long-running stats going all the way back to 1900 showed how long markets tend to be in a state of being in a correction. So in other words, being more than 10% below their most recent peak. And it's about half of the time.
Sure.
About half of the time, the markets are more than 10%, at least 10% below their recent peak. About 65%, so about two-thirds of the time, they are more than 5% below their recent peak. Mm-hmm. So it kind of makes sense. I mean, markets go
this
up
is the
over time.
Range.
Markets go up over time, but they don't go up in a straight line. So at any given time, you know, this is not an unusual situation to be in.
Okay, so we're gonna look at this a bit more through the lens of the Magnificent Seven, because they've been behind these big movements, haven't they, Tom? Behind the big gains at the start of the year, and now behind these big falls just recently. And it's true that some of the seven have really added to the gain this year. Nvidia, Meta, Amazon in particular, up, you know, very many times what the market overall has been up. There have been big losers in that group as well, haven't there? Tesla's down 40% this year. Apple's down 10%. So I guess a valid question at the moment, Tom, is that grouping, that Magnificent Seven grouping, is it actually looking a bit flimsy already? I've only just got used to using that term, Tom. Are we going to have to replace it with something else?
Well, do you know what? I think it's always been a slightly artificial grouping. I mean, for one thing, all the companies within the Magnificent Seven are quite different companies. I mean, they're all sort of tech related, but, you know, frankly, any company these days is sort of tech related. You know, there's a hardware manufacturer in Apple. There are advertising focused businesses, Meta and Google. Nvidia is all about AI. Microsoft is a bit about AI, a bit about just general. You know, they're very different companies.
AI is a sort of, it may not group all of them, but it's. You know, it captures quite a few of them these days, doesn't it? That AI skew.
It does, but you know what? I think AI is going to have a huge influence on all companies. How they choose to use it is going to be a big influence on their outlook. So I do think that it is a bit of a flimsy grouping. I think these groupings always tend to be. I remember, you know, years ago, the old BRICS, Brazil, Russia, India, China, Another Goldman Sachs grouping that we put together, essentially a marketing exercise. And of course, as soon as it becomes commonly used, then it kind of stops working. And mm-hmm. And I think maybe that will be true of the Magnificent Seven. The one company we didn't mention is Tesla, of course, which is part of the Magnificent Seven.
Yeah.
It's a completely different company from all of the others. And then you talked a bit about the performance. I mean, there has been a massive divergence in performance just so far this year. Nvidia up about 70% at its peak. It's well off that now. Tesla down 40%. So that's, in performance terms, big divergence.
Yeah, and we're going to get under the skin of why that is. Each of them clearly, as you suggest there, Tom, they face their own challenges, don't they, in terms of their future prospects. But there are common factors as well. And one of those is the macroeconomic environment and interest rates in particular. We've talked a bunch on the podcast about why these companies love low interest rates. But the fact is that we've had expectations for how quickly rates will fall and how far they will fall being revised as the year has gone on. Is it simply now the case that until rates begin to fall, or at least the market is utterly convinced that they're going to fall and soon, it's going to be the case that these companies and the market overall, in fact, just finds it hard to break through that sort of record level that we've seen it sort of touch this year?
I think it's going to be difficult for the market to make significant progress until we get some evidence that interest rates are turning, because it's not just a revision of expectations about interest rates. It's a complete about face, really. I mean, you go back not that long to the beginning of the year, the market was pricing in as many as 6 quarter point interest rate cuts in mm-hmm. the US, twice as many as the Federal Reserve was actually suggesting that was likely. Now, there is actually, the futures markets are actually putting a non-trivial percentage probability on the next move actually being up in interest rates, 20%. 20% chance that interest rates will actually rise next in the US. So, and yeah, as you say, we've discussed many times why that's a bad thing for high growth companies. So this grouping of companies, the Magnificent Seven, is going to be particularly impacted by that change in expectation about interest rates. Because let's not forget that they are still high growth companies. I mean, we've got four of them actually announcing figures this week. Yeah, we've got Tesla, Microsoft, Alphabet and Meta announcing. And I was having a look at some of the previews, some of the expectations for profits. And, as a whole, the Magnificent Seven is forecast to grow earnings by about 33% year on year, 13% rise in revenues. So, these are still very high growth companies. Mm-hmm. So a change in expectations about the rate at which those future earnings are going to be discounted to a present value is very significant.
Yeah. Yeah. And just to explain that point a bit more. As you've expressed it, the fact that rates are lower and inflation is potentially lower in the future, that's good for the profits that everyone expects these companies to make. They're going to be worth more in real terms because if those factors are lower.
Yes. I mean, the fact of the matter is that a lot of the value that's attributed to these companies is to do with the profits that they're going to make in years to come. Mm. And in order to work out what that's worth today, you use the prevailing interest rate. And when interest rates are high, that value is lower. When interest rates are low, less of it is going to be eaten away by inflation. Mm. So it's worth more in today's money. That's the general thinking about that's why interest rates are influential on the valuation of tech stocks.
Yeah, and we can widen this out a bit more to the market in general. There is something paradoxical, isn't there, about this situation where, let's remember that the reason rate expectations are being pushed out is because, okay, inflation is staying a little bit higher, but part of that reason is that economies are performing a little bit better than people had expected. There is some steam in the US economy, certainly. It looks like the UK, having been in recession, is now going to pull out of it. That's good news, typically. economically. But is there any evidence that that better news on economies, however bad it is for a tech company, is beginning to benefit other parts of the market, as you would logically expect it to?
Yes, I think there is. And I think in two different ways. I mean, one sort of within the US market, I think that what we've seen is a broadening out of the market performance away from just these tech stocks to a broader constituency of companies, many of which, as you say, will benefit from a growing economy. But it's also true on a global basis that what we've seen over the last month is quite a significant reversal of the previous hierarchy, of the previous leadership of markets. So, you know, in recent years, it's all been about the US and countries like the UK and Europe, Japan to a lesser extent, have lagged behind the US. That's kind of reversed. So if you look at what's the performance over the last month since the peak, essentially, the big winners have been the UK and China, and they have been the two most out of favor markets. I mean, they're slightly different. I mean, the Chinese market is dependent on global growth, so it's a positive for them. The UK has a different sector constituency from the US, so there are different reasons why they've started to do well. But the whole leadership has been turned on its head.
Yeah, I mean, one of the other interesting aspects that I wanted to dwell on today in this conversation was the effect of this of the Magnificent Seven on active versus passive investing, because it's been really, really hard, hasn't it, for active funds to actually hold these companies in the sort of correct proportion, or the proportion that the market dictates they should be held in, because they are so big. Active funds will often have rules around that, right? Around the concentration of risk in one individual company. So you've got this sort of divergence going on, with passive investors having enjoyed a great time with these companies. They own loads of them by default. Mm. And they've done very well. Active has suffered. Does this suggest that active can catch up a bit?
Well, it may do. I think there are a couple of interesting ways of looking at this. I mean, on the face of it, yes, active managers have really struggled, for the reason that you outlined there, to keep up with the market, because almost by definition they've had an underweight in the stocks which have been performing the best. So if the rest of the market catches up and starts to perform better than those leading stocks, then there is a chance that, you know, if an active manager is making the right stock picks, then they will start to do better. They at least have a chance of outperforming the market. I think what's interesting here, though, is, and I've had anecdotally people mention this to me in the last few days, that they have been speaking to fund managers who have started to, you mentioned the limitations on holdings. Some fund managers are starting to loosen those limitations in order to allow themselves to increase their holdings in stocks like Nvidia. Maybe they're doing it at just the wrong time.
I was going to say that would really be doubling down and not in a good way, potentially.
Yeah, and that kind of style drift is something which fund selectors always watch carefully, because what you want in a fund manager is you want them to say what they're going to do and then stick to what they do. And very often the temptation is enormous when the style or the market moves against you. It's very difficult for a manager to stick to their guns. Yeah. If they're a value manager and the growth style is doing very well, often at the turning points in the market, that's just when managers lose their nerve and they start doing exactly what they shouldn't do. So that, I think, is a worrying feature, and it'll be interesting to watch how that pans out.
Okay. Well, let's leave it there, Tom, because that is all the time we have for now. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Ed.
You've been listening to the Money Talk podcast. Check fidelity.co.uk for daily written updates and articles on these and other topics from across Fidelity in the UK. And subscribe via iTunes to get the podcast downloaded direct to your devices every week.
Please note that the value of investments and the income from them can go down as well as up, so you may get back less than you invest. Investors should note that the views expressed may no longer be current and may have already been acted upon. This information is not a personal recommendation for any particular investment. If you are unsure about the suitability of an investment, you should speak to one of Fidelity's advisors or an authorized financial advisor of your choice. Overseas investments will be affected by movements in currency exchange rates, and investments in emerging markets can be more volatile than other more developed markets. Reference to the specific securities should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell these securities and is included for the purposes of illustration only. Tax treatment depends on individual circumstances and all tax rules may change in the future. Withdrawals from a pension product may not be possible until you reach age 55, 57 from 2028. This podcast may not be reproduced or circulated without prior permission. No statements or representations made in this podcast are legally binding on Fidelity or the recipient. This podcast is meant only for UK residents and does not constitute an offer or a solicitation in any jurisdiction in which it may be unlawful to make such an offer or solicitation.